The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Raheel joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, boys?
Not too much. Just scared Dell a little bit. I had to, my mobile location didn't have power this morning, so I had to come into the studio. But anyway, I came in. I just said, I came in and said, "Hey, best friend," and Dell just jumped a mile. His back was to me because he was doing something over there on Miami Hurricane fan site, a message board. I think I can only assume that's what was happening. I don't know. And he had his mask on and just being super careful and conscientious, and he just jumped 15 miles in the air.
That's an exaggeration. I turned around and was like, oh, but I didn't jump. I didn't
even
move.
He said some bad words.
I said, get out of here is what I said. He should be insulted, honestly, because I heard him and wasn't afraid. And then when I saw his face peering through the door, then that's when I was a little startled. He probably should be insulted more than anything.
You scared him, though? He jumped out of his skin?
I didn't jump at him. I shook. I moved, but I didn't leap.
It's like a scene out of 28 Days Later.
Yeah, he's over. Well, you do look like a zombie right now.
I feel like one. I'm gonna try to get this show on track with something that is sports related to open it up with. All right. So you referenced this yesterday, and we didn't really get into it. Me and my brother got in a big argument on Twitter. We were talking about, I don't know, we're just talking about in general. I'd made a comment about the Last Dance documentary, and Dennis Rodman came up. And the first thing I did say on Twitter that I don't think there can be any debate. If you debate this, then not only are you wrong, you're either stupid or you're being an a-hole. This is the only two. You're either a stupid person who should never procreate or you're being an a-hole if you argue with this one. And it was the very simple one. This is why Jordan is the greatest, will always be the greatest scorer of all time. His PPGs, points per games, had to come in a bleeping meat grinder. And that is accurate. Not every game, but there were more than just the Detroit Pistons that played very physical basketball. Pistons were dirty. There was a difference. But the Pistons issued in much more hand-checking and much greater physicality. But you could see a lot of those scores already in the early 90s, and especially 1990, were already in the 80s. Like when they end a game and they show the graphic – look how many times the losing team was in the 80s. That was not because they were bad shooters or this, that, and the other. It was because they were – now, the tempo, people would work it in half court more. There's no question about that. So, I mean, the tempo was lesser, and there weren't as many three-point looks. That was just not part of the game really as much. But you would get the crap kicked out of you. And more importantly, you could hand check on the perimeter and slow things way, way, way down because it was hard to drive past someone because you could always have a hand on your hip. but regardless, aside from that, that was one of my arguments I made. And it wasn't really an argument. It was just a statement. No one really argued it. What my brother started to argue is we also talked about Dennis Rodman a little bit, and Rodman was a tremendous competitor when his head was right. Dennis is also bipolar, and there were times where he would just completely, you know, go off the rails. And he was a complete non-factor, because he quit on the San Antonio Spurs. We know that. He kind of pseudo-quit on the Pistons. And there were times that he was, you know, close to quitting on the Bulls, too. We're seeing that on the documentary. But anyway, so I don't know. James Harden came up somehow. And my brother made a point that we don't know what's going on with James Harden because he might be actually busting his butt. We don't know. Or he said,
well, his quote is, "I don't get the narrative that James doesn't love the game. His improvement over the years would suggest otherwise."
Okay, what do you think?
I would say I agree with that statement. Mm-hmm. I agree that I will say this. I don't know about love the game, but I do know he has put the work in.
Yes, so that's why I think there's not a simple answer on that one. Clearly, no. James has put work in.
He's put work in.
Clearly, he's put work in. Does he love? I think you have to define love. For me, all I think about is guys who it really hurts them to lose.
Yeah,
and they do everything it takes to make sure they never lose again, even though they may lose again. I don't see that. I don't see that.
James,
and his point is, it doesn't matter what you think you see because you're not behind the scenes watching him.
Right.
And his performances would say otherwise. And
his performance doesn't say otherwise, though.
Well, his points, how he's performed at an MVP level and all that stuff was his argument. Here's another.
How does he perform in elimination games?
Okay.
We know what elimination games is.
It's not good. Here's another one. It's really not good. Here's another one. Does James Harden, does his body language, so someone else brought up his body language. Jose brought it up, I think. His body language.
Body language is tricky for me.
It's tricky, but is it inaccurate that you don't think you can get a feel for body language? You could in game six of the San Antonio game, you could.
No, there are a lot of guys who are nonchalant that really care. I mean, we'll criticize guys who are too intense and can't handle pressure, but then we're going to criticize guys who are really poised under pressure.
Well,
I don't know.
No. Poise and nonchalance aren't the same.
Yeah.
Name a nonchalant player. James is 100% nonchalant on defense. Sam Perkins was an all-time great.
You didn't say all-time great. You said name a nonchalant player, and I named a nonchalant player.
We're talking about obviously all-time greats. We're talking about Jordan and Pippen and that Bulls team and James. We're talking about all-time greats. Name an all-time great that was nonchalant that had bad body language at times or off body language.
Like Terrell Owens, are you talking about?
Was hardly nonchalant. He was Terrell Owens. Now, he did have bad body language.
Yeah, bad
nonchalant's
body language.
Not the word. Yeah, no. That's right. Bad body language. He would have some. Yeah, absolutely. Because he emotionally would quit on situations at times. Not often. Actually, his body language was worse
Randy
off
Moss?
The field.
How about Randy
Moss?
Yeah,
Randy Moss would be one for sure.
Yeah.
Randy Moss would be one for sure. And Randy Moss... That's why his all-time star is a little tainted. He quit on the Raiders, didn't even try, and then all of a sudden started trying again with New England. Randy would 100% be that guy, and I think there's probably a comparison.
That's a problem too. That's a problem too.
Well, it was a problem, yeah. But here's a second question that arises: do we? And this is a fair point that my brother brought up. Do we have a narrative against James? And you guys can weigh in on any of this stuff. 713-780-3776. Does he take a hit, James, because the narrative's already been set on him, and is that unfair?
I don't believe so. I think he's established it over until he changes the narrative. I mean, well, and here's the thing. And one of the points was pretty damn good by your brother was Mike didn't. Let's not forget, it wasn't like Mike won right away. He was 7 years in the league before he finally won. And the knock was, Mike just cares about scoring and being the scoring champion. And that was even revealed in the doc. You were not winning until you give up the ball. We're just not winning.
I'd say that was it for 5 years until that 88-89 season where he started trying to attack the assist numbers and share the basketball. He just didn't trust his teammates. He knew he was the best. And, frankly, we found out he had coaches that wanted to
There were actually, and those were some bad teammates at the time when the difference, I mean, until Scotty became a player, he really didn't have anything, much of anything to work with. And you could say that your brother brought up, they go to the Western Conference Finals, and then they bring in Carmelo and Michael Carter Williams and James Ennis. I was like, if you want to know the truth, it's not like management, it's not like what the Bulls management did, what Jerry Krause did, instead of bringing in, really good pieces that would help, you just threw trash at it, if you want to know the truth. And if I'm a player, if I'm a great player, and you say, okay, we're trying to win a championship, we go to the Western Conference Finals, and you give me Melo and Ennis and Michael Carter Williams the next season, really? Are we an organization that's really that we're committed? That's the only thing we want is a championship. I mean, you could make that argument.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, I think it's pretty simple. James Harden is an incredibly skilled player who understands how to score. Scoring is an art. It really, truly is. Scoring is not for everyone. Scoring involves being able to shoot from different distances, having to fill around the basket, having the ability to finish, which is, to me, one of the most underrated art forms in basketball. I think being a scorer does not mean the same as being an all-time great. It's an all-time great skill level. It's like somebody who's a great home run hitter and you say they're a great baseball player. No, you can be a great home run hitter, a great power hitter, and not be a great baseball player. I think James is a great player, make no doubt mm-hmm. about it, and superstar. I just think there is a fundamental lack for him in the relentless competitive nature that defined certainly Jordan, but defines a lot of all-time greats where they are. And I think, and by the way, I think LeBron has it too, without question. I know we joke around about the LeBron stuff, but LeBron, I think, has a relentless competitive nature that has driven him throughout his life. And mm-hmm. sometimes it drives him to make some decisions that we haven't always liked in terms of, you know, trying to make some things easier.
No, but that's a championship drive.
But it's a mentality. Yeah, yeah. It's a mentality that this is so important to me. I'll do whatever it takes, even if people are going to, you know, clown me for what this or that, joining super groups and all this stuff. But he really legitimately, it's what is going to define him, and he wants it to define him. And he's chasing Jordan. There's no question he's chasing Jordan. In his own mind, he's chasing Jordan. I don't think that James has that, but I think if there was one thing that I could have in a star player, if you told me you can only have one thing, they have star-level talent, what would it be? It would just be relentless competitive nature. I would want that because I think that's the one for the all-time greats. I think typically that is somewhere baked into their DNA, and sometimes it makes them an a-hole, and it makes them different than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're different than me. I don't have that kind of – I don't think a lot of people have that kind of thing.
Right. Well, Dell has that. He's an a-hole, but not with the championship drive.
Right. He's relentless a-hole.
Right.
It's
right,
different.
Relentless.
You can't mix the two.
Right, right,
it's
right.
It's just a random shot by a terrible person. Really. Like, it didn't need to come at me about that. You just decided to because you're a bad person.
No. I just have to point out. I make sure everybody knows
no one was thinking about me.
As a human being. And we're going to find, you know what, you're going to find, and Mike's going to catch it now, I think, in these next few episodes about what an a-hole he was. I was reading this morning something about, let's not forget that during that Pistons series, after they were up 3-0, Mike and Phil Jackson just unloaded on the Pistons and what a-holes they were and how bad people they were and everything else in press conferences before Game 4. And so that was part of the reason. Actually, Isaiah said it before. He hasn't been saying it this week.
Yeah.
But he had said it before in like 2013 or something. He's like, hey, you know, they were really bad-mouthing us. So screw them. We didn't give a rat's ass about the Bulls.
Well, I'll read you what Bill Laimbeer said about your Chicago Bulls, John. I'll read what Bill Laimbeer.
They're not my Chicago Bulls. They were everyone Chicago Bulls. At
no,
the time.
Well, they're not Bill Laimbeer's. They're not the working man's basketball team.
You mean the a hole, the Dell of the NBA, Bill
wow.
Laimbeer?
Once again, whoa! It's really unnecessary.
The Dell of the NBA.
All right, Michael and Phil, just bad mouthing me. I know I've dominated you for half a decade, but now that I'm on a downturn, you're coming after
every
me.
Every year, John's in the weight room trying to get ready for the next year,
putting on 5 pounds at a clip, trying to get ready.
Yeah, but not in the weight room. All right, 714 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you've got some thoughts on this, you're welcome to get in.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
Oh, baby.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you've got anything on that. Well, to summarize, by the way, I would agree with you. Some of your brother's points, they're good points. Well, number one is, how can you improve as much as James has if you don't have drive? Now, he may be motivated by money. I don't. You know what? None of us know the motivation. None of us do. I mean, and if money's the motivation, he wins because he has made a boatload. He has become one of the great scorers in the game's history. He is, you know, he certainly is a superstar, and he has gained all the money that you could possibly.
Yeah, he's got the biggest bag of all time. It's amazing. If that was his goal, to see how big the bag could get, well done.
Yeah.
I mean, well done.
No. I'm not going to fault him for that.
Yeah.
We all want everybody to have that championship drive. The Kobe. Kobe had it. Michael had it.
Yeah.
LeBron has it.
It's not for everybody. But there were guys. I think probably Karl Malone and John Stockton had it.
They just didn't get there.
Yeah, they just didn't get there.
Charles wouldn't give up everything for it.
No, Charles wouldn't give up everything. And I respect and see, this is what I love about sports. It's the things that I can't. Not only do I not have, like, it's always to me, sports always is about something they can do that is different than us regular humans. And it's not just, it can be flying around, dunking, it could be bat speed, it could be, you know, if you're a football player, it could be, you know, whatever the athletic mechanism is that they have. But to me, it's something different. For me personally, what I've always loved since I was probably once I was in junior high and started to recognize this was the guys who were just different. They just were wired differently. The clutch gene, the ability to, to overcome mentally, the mental toughness. It was that whole, it's the whole psychological angle and overcoming adversity thing and performing at a high level and reaching and searching out a high level and being able to get there to meet. And you know, that's what Tiger, this is with a lot of people.
Yes.
There's a lot of athletes who are like,
yes.
That.
You know who else has it? Tyson Fury. Did you see what he did to win that championship, to win that fight?
No, what he did?
He left his family in England. He went and he stayed for 5 months. He trained in, I believe it was in Vegas where he was, but he ate only the right things. He woke up every morning. He was drinking like, I don't know what he said, 20 Diet Cokes a day. He completely stopped. He changed his entire life, and he wanted one thing, and was to win that championship, to win that fight. And he did. And he did it with just by he put everything he could possibly put into it. I was like, wow, that is pretty. He did not see his wife and kids for 5 months.
Well, and so I think you can say something similar. And this is where to me, this is just to prove that it's not just a James partying thing. It's beyond that. It really goes down to when it's time for nut cutting time, when it's truly time to see what you're made of. Floyd Mayweather did all that other stuff, the money, the throwing. Floyd Mayweather, at the end of the day, always got there. He was always, and that's talent, obviously, but that's preparedness. Right. You have to put the time in to not slip up in boxing for that long. That's rare stuff.
Well, but now Floyd Mayweather is a little different in that he did have that natural talent. He had the natural body. He was just so ultra talented, you know. And now Tyson Fury, that's a bad body.
Tyson Fury, I think, is. I mean, that gets to his background, though. You know, he's a traveler, also known as a gypsy. And he is, you know, comes from a long, if you know anything about that background, the history of a lot of gypsy and traveler families, there's a long history of bare knuckle brawling and fights and beefs that are settled with bare knuckle fights. I mean, you can go see documentaries on it. It's pretty crazy. But so Tyson comes from that. Like, he comes from that. So that's a whole different. I always feel like people from Ireland are different. Like, you almost, they got something in them, it seems like. It's probably the bonus. We just give them the credit for that. But they've got some, Conor McGregor's like that too. They've got this hard nature that can drive them and, to success or otherwise.
Right. Absolutely. Listen, my dad owned a bar, and he had all kinds of Irish people in there. Bruh, they could go. I mean, I applaud their abilities, okay? I always have. Hey, a couple of baseball notes. One, big ups to Ken Rosenthal. See, we joked yesterday about Richard Justice. You weren't here, Del, but we were joking a little bit about Richard Justice.
I wasn't, Richard.
I was. I was joking about it, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I really don't know if he and I could have a conversation about this because it would turn ugly because I can't disagree with him more about his stance on this. And I'm a little bit passionate about it in that I love this Ken Rosenthal article in The Athletic now. In the past, he says this, in the past, baseball had said we were going to hold managers and GMs responsible for any misconduct of this nature. And in this particular decision, they shifted course. I don't think that's not even arguable that they did for the very thing that Jeff Luhnow was suspended a year, Alex Cora was exonerated in this case. And it's so impossible to believe that Alex Cora had no knowledge, first of all.
No, he was suspended a year.
No, he's suspended a year for the Astros. He was not suspended. He was not even.
He's still suspended
a
year.
He was found not guilty in the Red Sox case. And yet he, for the very thing that Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch were suspended for. And that's, Jeff Luhnow was suspended for.
But he did get the same punishment, though.
Pardon me?
Ultimately, he got the same punishment.
No, he didn't. He got punished for the Astros. He did not get punished for the Red Sox.
I know, but the punishment is the same.
No. But then say that, then. Say that he's already been suspended a year, and we're going to keep it at that.
Would that have made you feel better about it?
Well, no, absolutely it would. But what they're saying here is, it's okay. Alex Cora didn't know. And so there's no punishment for him.
Does Alex Cora come back to baseball after this has been?
I don't know. That's not the argument. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is exactly what Ken Rosenthal says. Is that it's okay what Alex Cora did. And first of all, you're insulting my intelligence by saying Alex Cora didn't know. But secondly, you're saying it was okay. The lack of institutional control was okay in this case, but it wasn't okay in the case of the Astros, which is contradictory, which is hypocritical. And this entire – the way that they handled this Red Sox thing is wrong compared to the way that they handled the Astros. It's wrong. So that's my case. If Alex Cora comes back, I don't care. If he doesn't, I don't care. I don't care. I mean, that's up to baseball to decide. I know Jeff Luhnow won't be back. I don't know any team that's going to hire Jeff Luhnow. Maybe a Kansas City or something said, you know what, let's take a chance. Because, hopefully he won't be as big an a-hole. Hopefully he won't hire any Taubmans. But that dude's smart, and he can put together an organization. Maybe there's a chance Jeff Luhnow gets back in. I'll tell you what, if I'm in Kansas City and I'm their fan base, I'd be like, I don't give a rat's ass.
It was a couple years. Really, honestly, he probably could. It would probably take the right. I think it would take the right market because there is going to be, the cancel culture for this baseball thing is going to come after, like, you have got, this is a, what? And then if you can overcome that for a week or 2 weeks, then it goes away. So, I mean, it's possible. I think A.J. Hinch will for sure be back in. I don't know about Alex Cora because you can say what you want, but I really feel like it now looks like Astros Red Sox is what it looks like for him. Maybe that's because we know that's what it is. We know in real life that is what it is.
But the commissioner said it's not the case, and it's a bunch of bull, 727 ESPN 97.5. And then we've got, when we come back, baseball's plan to get back on the field. And it's kind of interesting. We'll talk about that on the other side.
It's different than basketball's. We'll compare and contrast the two. That shouldn't take long.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Go back here on ESPN 97.5. There's a proposal out there. It came out on USA. I guess USA Today broke it. 10-team, three-division. Three divisions made up of 10 teams each. And you only play within your division. And then you have an expanded playoffs. I don't know how many teams. It doesn't say how many teams would make the playoffs. Did you guys ever see that? You see anything about that?
No, I haven't seen it with the new one.
It would be an East, a West, and a Central. East is the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, Phillies, Pirates, Blue Jays, Rays, and Marlins. That makes sense. Okay, so that's the East. It's basically the AL East and the NL East. A West would be Dodgers, Angels, Giants, Athletics, Padres, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Rangers, Astros, and Mariners. And then the Centrals would be the Centrals. The Cubs, White Sox, Brewers, Cardinals, Royals, Reds, Indians, Twins, Braves, and Tigers.
I thought maybe you were going to say Cubs, Sox, Cards, Brewers, Astros, Rangers, Twins. I'm trying to think of an actual Central. I thought maybe we'd chop up the regions based on geography.
Well, I guess
it would make more sense, but I don't think we wouldn't have enough teams out west. So,
no, right? There's got to be two teams that, because they're too short, and it's the Rangers and the Astros that they've decided, as opposed to Kansas City, which I don't know would longitude land. I don't know. I don't know which one is further west. That doesn't matter. St. Louis as well, but they've got the Astros and Rangers in the West, and that's what you got to live with. And the Braves actually in the Central as opposed to the East. They got the Pirates in there, but the Braves are further east, but whatever. So in that division, with the Dodgers, how about you play in the Dodgers? The A's? The Rangers? I mean, talk about some hate-filled games.
Mm-hmm.
Between the Dodgers, the A's, and I don't know that the Rangers hate the Rangers, they hate you. It's just a good rivalry. But, man, being in the same division as the Dodgers, bring some. Let's go, Biznatches. Bring it. I wouldn't mind that at all. Well, you want to talk about some games with some emotion in them, with no stand. You don't need any fans in the stands for this one. And, oh, by the way, we've already seen in South Korea that they've had some beanball wars. With no fans in the stands, and they've had some, they had baseball fight. But I could certainly see some mounting tensions at the, I don't know how many games you would play against each team. I don't know how many games they're playing. What are they going to start? They're talking about mid-June or so to start.
Yeah.
Possibly a little bit, maybe mid-July. So you're certainly going to have, what would you play? 4 times 9, that's 36. Now you probably play 5 times 9, 45 games. You got to play more than that. 6, 54.
Ooh, there's. I think the number of games is going to be lower than you think. Because
you got to go at least a couple months.
So here's everybody's 54 coming.
54 games would be 2 months. You got to go at least.
See what
two
James
months.
Andrews is saying. That really, everyone's now is saying there's a major chance of major injury.
Yeah.
Across all sports, unless they have their time to build up, and then, frankly, for some guys, they will not have kept a baseline. Honestly, because some guys don't have the same gym apparatus or whatever at their home. There's going to be some guys who are falling below their baseline. Others will have maintained at their baseline.
Well, here's the deal, though. All right, if you start in July, if you have all of June that you can get ready, you start in July, you'd have July, August, and September, which you have anyway, 3 months, which would be about half of the games. So you could still play about half a season. Let's say you play 30. I mean, you're gonna play each team 9 times, 81 games. You can have half a season, 3 months worth of 81 games, and then you go into the postseason. It's not unlike anytime you have a lockout or a strike. It wouldn't be much unlike that. If you can get a half a season in starting in July with a month in June to get ready for the season, I think it would be a credible season.
I really hope that this can happen. I mean, we need something. We need something. Because if not, if baseball didn't, basketball looks like they're out. It looks like basketball. The Warriors said the Warriors have basically said, we're done. So Steve Kerr came out and said the Warriors are responding as though they believe. Here's what he says. It feels like the off season, Kerr said in a video conference call in conjunction with University of San Francisco. And in fact, we had a Zoom call. Bob Myers and I got on a Zoom with our players and our whole roster last week. And it was just a chance to check in, but it was also a chance for Bob to update the players on his contact with the league and the latest news. But it also kind of felt like our annual team exit meeting. Our coaching staff and I have been undergoing staff evaluations, off season plans. So we're absolutely in off season mode. Right now, the suspension came at an interesting time, and it really made a difference depending on where your team stood in the standing. So I've talked to some of my fellow coaches who are coaching teams that are right in the thick of the playoff hunt. They're trying to desperately to stay in touch with their team. Some of them are even doing group workouts on Zoom with their training staff, and they're trying to find hoops for their players to shoot at where they're able to do so. I think I guess people work off of a notion that everyone's got a huge house with a sweet basketball court in it. For a lot of these guys, that isn't where they live, and that's not what they're. And they don't have gyms, and they don't have setups like that. And schools, they're getting. I can speak from personal experience about schooling in kids right now is not. It's not working at all. And I was reading a story where nationally, they're talking about just shutting down schools because it's not like. This just isn't – for some, it's very hard because you don't have phones or more importantly, tablets and computers. But I think a big percentage is just the kids and families have just kind of checked out because this is a stressful, anxiety-ridden time. And it's just not – the school stuff, the online school stuff is – it just isn't it's not really working. It wasn't set up to where – I know for our school, the teachers, there was not one set – video chat, like there's not one way of doing things. So some teachers who are more tech savvy have the ability to deliver lessons plans. Others, it's just like, just watch this video and y'all take care. Try not to get the coronavirus. Like, wow, boy, there's a big difference in what some teachers are and other teachers because there's no set way of doing things. This was never anticipated. So it wouldn't shock me if basketball is the same way where guys are just kind of checked out on it. I mean, I think that's natural.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah, I think basketball will be the hardest. I don't know. I question the credibility of just having a playoff right now. If you just have the playoffs after all of this layoff, they're not the same teams. They're just not. Maybe you just go without a champion right now, and you just move on. Players are going to have to accept that whatever money they got, and. And this is just a loss, and it's going to be a loss again next year.
Steve Kerr said. I mean, what do teams, John, if you're 17 games out, if you're 15 games out, what do you even want to come back for?
No.
The only thing you're coming back for is the paycheck. That's it. You think the effort level is going to be there? No.
No. Well, I mean, why would you have any more regular season games, though?
Because of contracts.
That's it. It's just the money.
Yeah, just the money.
That's a big deal, though. On Monday, all those local markets and their contracts, you have to get to like 70 games apparently for those things to be paid in full.
Wow.
So if the NBA can do, I think every team's is within seven games. Like I think some teams have played 63, some teams have played 67. So that's what the NBA is trying to do. Get everyone to 70 so those contracts can get paid out. And then they'll ramp it up into the playoffs. They'll play 70 games and then get to the playoffs.
Where would we be in the playoffs right now?
We would be, depending on how your team did, you would either be just finishing up round one, if you beat a team like 4-1, you might be waiting for the next round, or you might be getting ready for like a game six or something in the first round.
We'd still be in the first round.
Yeah.
Go ahead into the second.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's going to take a month to get ready too on top of it. Of course, the NBA playoffs are terminable.
Well, maybe they shorten them. Maybe they make five game series for the first couple rounds. I don't know.
Well, Steve Kerr is right though. A team that's 17 out, don't get ready. You know what? Just everybody that's in the playoffs get ready. That's all.
That's what it'd have to be. That's it would really have to be that, except for the fact, like Dell mentions, we can't just assume that the money's not a big deal. If that was your one paycheck, John, was your whole season in the NBA. Would you want to throw any of your radio paycheck away for if you thought, man, I'm losing 30% of my money? You would want to make that money. That's not unusual. I mean, it doesn't make them a-holes or greedy. If they want, that's what their job is. They want to get paid for their job. They're not going to get paid for all of it, clearly. No. But I could see where there would be players saying, hey, let's get out there and get some games in because we want our paychecks.
Well, but I don't know why pro athletes are any different than anybody else. We're all taking less. Everybody that I know is.
But they're taking zero right now.
Yeah, right. But they did get paid on, you know, for the majority of their season. They played.
Yeah,
60
but if
games.
Dell, if we're talking about, you've got to get to a certain number of games.
Well,
to
that's
invest
no, that's
in.
For the teams
that's,
to
that's
get
for
the,
their
the
teams.
Television.
So
money.
The teams.
Well, no,
be,
I know. And the teams are part of this too. They pay the players.
Yeah, they certainly want to get to 70 because they'll lose out on quite a bit. I know. And as far as what the season looked like, I think. Anyway, if they try to get to a season, everyone's going to have to take a hit, whether it be the fans who don't think it's real or players who aren't comfortable coming back. If a season happens, everyone's going to be probably, I don't think anyone's going to be thrilled with the way it goes down because it's an abnormal situation. Some sacrifices are going to have to be made if a season gets played.
Boy, I tell you what, I went to a restaurant yesterday and I was talking to members of their staff, and there was one person there, and she was helping with some relief stuff that they were doing. And I said, what do you think? Are you looking forward to getting back or no? What's the plan? She goes, bleep no. She said, I don't know where anyone's been. I don't know what anyone's doing, and I don't have insurance. I'm getting paid right now, at least some with unemployment right now, because she was up helping just at that place as a volunteer. And she said, I get paid something for unemployment, you know, while we wait this thing out. She said, I'm not a huge, cause if I get sick, I can't afford anything. I don't know. I think the whole reopen thing is going to be a little trickier than I probably initially thought. Well, I always knew it was going to be tricky, and especially with – but I think – I wasn't really thinking about on the worker side. The worker side is going to be trickier than I initially thought. I thought it was really going to be more about – I was thinking about from my standpoint, like how many people are actually going to want to go in and sit down for very long at a restaurant or wherever. But I think restaurants are going to have a hard time getting some of their workers back now.
Yeah.
I know you talked about that, but I think it's a real thing.
They're very happy where they're at. I've heard from a couple of people that own businesses. Our guys are really in a good place right now.
Yeah, that's their that's their vantage point. I think for some of the workers who don't have health insurance, they're not really a fan of taking a lot of chances because these same people have been working up there during to go. They say, we know everybody here. We're not worried about people here. We're worried about the outside. And once you make that, there's not variables here for to go. We don't really have variables. We know what it's going to be every day. The variables are what scare us.
You know what they need? TGS insurance. That's what.
Well,
need.
So that's for homeowners insurance. They're not health, but they are homeowners insurance. But I've been talking to a growing number of people who've been reaching out my direct message saying, "Hey, tell me about the homeowners insurance company again." You talk about being able to save money. I need to save money. So this is what it is with TGS insurance. You have an opportunity. I have someone I know who just had their insurance. It's not canceled, but it's not going to be renewed once the policy expires because they've got an aluminum roof. You know why that is? Because this company doesn't want, because aluminum roofs, it's not that they're not good or not safe or whatever. They're actually very good. They're just more expensive. So this company goes, yeah, I'm not going to do that because it's hurricane season coming up. Listen, you have to deal with that kind of squirrely nonsense all the time with insurance companies. Let TGS Insurance help you shop a variety of A-rated insurance companies all at once. They'll find you the lowest rate. They'll get it to you within 15 seconds on your cell phone. And then from there, they can start working with you to get you that A-rated insurance for much lower rates. And how much lower? On average, it's almost $900 annually. That's a real savings. So text MONEY to 232323. That's MONEY to 232323.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. mate.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good news. Good news for everybody. This just came out. The Board of Governors is moving toward allowing student-athlete compensation for endorsements and promotions. So you can be paid for your likeness. You cannot use the school logo or trademark. The schools cannot be involved in any way, shape, or form. They cannot pay the student-athletes for their name, image, and likeness. But it looks like the Board of Governors is going to say, I saw Dana last week, and he was like, this is the worst thing. I was like, oh, okay, Thomas Jefferson. You just want your money, but you don't want those kids to make any money. Okay, all right, just take your $800 million contract, but make sure those kids don't get anything. Okay.
They may not have to worry about that if we don't have colleges.
No, right. Well,
at least they're not acting
like this is an existential world we're living in. That there's still, you know what, we can still adapt and change, and they're acting like we will have a college, and we will. It'll get back to normal, and maybe it'll take a couple of years, but we'll get back to normal. But now, you know, you're sticking your head in the sand if you're saying that these kids aren't getting paid already. You're just sticking your head in the
sand. Yeah, that's the people who are so virtuous and holier than now have no idea how much money the top players are getting.
Crazy. Quarter of a million. The numbers that I heard for one player that
these
was transferring
players have got to be like they are. What are you talking about?
It's ridiculous. And if you watch the scheme because that'll give you a pretty good indication of what's going on HBO. That's a pretty good doc, and it'll give you an indication of the kind of money that we're talking about here. And now coaches don't have to be involved. Now you get that car dealer, or you know what? Because the car dealer's paying for him anyway. That money's coming from a booster anyway. Might as well go direct to the kid instead of going through the school's hands and everybody being slimy.
And frankly,
if you think that this is going to change, Kentucky's still going to get all its players
unless they go to the G League.
Yeah, and they're still going to pay their players.
That's right.
This is
still
just supplement. This is going to be just as slimy. You think they won't? Yeah, they'll still.
No, now it's going to be in the open. Hey, that car dealer in Tuscaloosa, you know that one that's going to bring your whole family from Hawaii? There, you know what? He's going to be able to do it in the open, and Tua's going to be able to actually earn his money by doing commercials for his business.
Really, I know we keep talking about the major athletes that in the sports we care about because well that's what we would do. But I think the bigger benefit is for let's say a softball player gains a following on YouTube somehow, some way. Maybe she comes viral from doing something. Now, not only can that channel be monetized. She can be paid.
This is what it's supposed to be, though, Dell.
She can be paid for sponsoring, I don't know, a glove or whatever it is.
What you're talking about, John, is just a sneaky way for schools to try to, like, oh, we're going to give Tua $500,000 a year to do this commercial for TV, when that's nowhere near the rate of what someplace in Birmingham, Alabama would be for someone to speak for a product.
Now, wait a minute. Okay, So first of all, the NCAA has monitored that. Okay, in summer jobs, they say you can't, and they watch it really closely. You can't pay a kid.
Are they doing the same with this?
On the team, you can't pay him more, and they'll probably monitor this as well. But Dell, you're absolutely right. Who was the kicker for some team that had a very successful
UCF
website?
Yeah.
And
but this
he
is
had
what
to quit
it's for,
football.
John.
But
this
he
is
had
what
to quit
be
football
for.
because the NCAA said, oh, no, you're using your own. Because you're a football player, you're actually gaining from this.
Yeah,
and he was like,
But people are using that. That's what this is supposed to be for. Not so that you don't have to go under the table to pay the Tuas of the world. We're just using Tua, I get it, as just a name. But not that you have to. What it's supposed to be for guys like that whose likenesses or whatever, it's not supposed to be. Now we've got an above the table way of paying our very best players. It's really supposed to be about what Dell talked about. That was the impetus for this even starting, and people are going to bastardize this and find a way to use this to make it easier to gain advantages. Financial advantages with players.
Well, again, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about
You're
that.
You're not? You just talked about that's what they're going to do.
Well, no. But here's the deal, Lance, is, again, if quarterback A is worth $250,000, and that's what he's getting from a school, because guess what, people, that's what's really happening. If he's a big prospect and he's worth $200,000, and he's getting a briefcase, because that's what he gets. He gets a briefcase now. And he's got, and because we've seen the videos of the kids with, oh, look, I'm going to Bama, and he's got all the money, and everybody goes, what the bleep? What are you doing? Why are you flashing all that money? And so that's what's really happening. And instead, it is a car dealer, and he does get, and he's got a contract, and it says this is how much money he is going to get. Then why would anyone have any problem with that whatsoever?
Well, because now we're just talking about, because it fundamentally breaks the tenet. Now we would have to get into the argument of the tenets of amateur athleticism, whether or not there's a value in a college degree anymore, how expensive college is. Then it gets into a whole different.
But that's already the case, Lance. Again.
No,
again,
I know.
It's already happening, only it's happening slimily.
I get it. But your argument would be there's not a value in $160,000 college.
That's not what I said. And here's the deal, too. Is those guys are rare. By the way, we're talking about the exceptions. We're talking about the super five-star athletes that are going to get these kind of
contracts. Right, realistically.
Everybody else is still getting their scholarship.
No.
And that's the way it should be, because that's how it is actually right now. If I'm a guy who's a three-star that's going to go to, let's say, Georgia Tech, you know what? I ain't getting no money. I'm going to get my scholarship.
That's what. Well,
and he's going to continue.
Yeah,
to
this
get
is
that.
Just capitalism. This is all. This that's is like right. Who can buy the best players. It's not about. It's not about. It's not about competitive.
Well, that's exactly what it is now. Why do you think Alabama and Kentucky, and
right,
all these schools are
right?
As good
I don't
as that.
Think it's. I don't think it's really right, though. I don't think it's right that college coaches are making $10 million. I mean, this is. It's gotten so far out of whack, and now you've got colleges that are going to really struggle to even stay open. If this thing continues and they're not able to get students into school, which is a real possibility in the fall, they don't have that tuition money coming in, and if they don't have sports, God forbid sports don't bring in the revenue that they're supposed to, there's going to be some schools that are in major, major, major trouble. Yeah. And I'm not talking about just athletic programs.
Another argument. But here's the deal is, again, we're letting the market, okay, not the schools, and so they're not going to lose anything from it. If I'm Joe Blow business, and who knows, I might find a kid that's a backup center for playing for LSU, and that has got a lot of personality. I've seen his interviews or whatever, or he's got a neat website or whatever. I might want him to represent my business. Now I can do that. And you know what? I got an LSU player, but I've got a kid that I really want, and he can make some money off of it.
Great in theory. Realistically, that's not going to happen a whole lot. Some backup center
with
a great personality is not going to move product.
You watch what's going to happen. You know who would make who would have made a lot of money? Who is the Michigan linebacker that's kind of crazy?
Winovich?
Yeah. You know what? He would make – and he wouldn't have made it when he came into the school.
You might find 10 players
like that.
But
he would have made it – what he would have made it after he got to the school and everybody sees what kind of personality he's got. Now I want that. I want that kid representing my business.
The thought is small towns like college towns would embrace the athlete that John's talking about. Sure, the backup center for LSU is not going to be a guy you can sell in New Orleans. But could you sell that guy in Baton Rouge for like a sandwich shop?
Maybe,
stuff like that.
Yeah, like $2,000, and it'll be a lot of money.
Or how about in his hometown? How about
that
in?
Too, yeah.
You know, in whatever small town.
Yeah, I guess
Louisiana
we're not talking about much money there, because realistically, let's be honest about this. It still needs to equal. You still need to get your money back for that. You still need to get value for having somebody speak to you. You can't just throw that money away. Businesses aren't looking to throw money away. And I'll tell you, the pandemic stuff is going to change the way a lot of people operate businesses and the way they think about that. It's not finite. There's always the chance that your business won't last forever. So I think the way contracts are written are going to be – this is not about athletics, but the way they write contracts is not going to be just open-ended, last forever type stuff. It's going to have language and verbiage in it that, hey, if we're hit by another pandemic, all bets are off.
Yeah, that's a different
It has deal, to.
Yeah, no, that's a different deal, though. But like, a kid from Abbeville, Louisiana, he goes to LSU. He's a wide receiver. He may be the second string.
Why are you taking care of Louisiana? Everybody,
okay,
Louisiana.
Well, whatever. Okay, in Texas, I know. Whatever.
Abbeville. How about Beaumont? LSU's backup center?
How about Abilene?
How about you take care of University
Beaumont?
Of Houston's backup
Beaumont?
Center?
Beaumont? He goes to A&M.
Here's what I want you to do. Get U of H's backup center now. Get him over to Damaris Barbecue. Speak and tell Yanni to give him $25,000.
I'm going to tell Yanni. He will. Oh, you don't think?
Clint Claytruck, the second teamer. Yanni's giving him 25 G's because he's got a good personality.
Yanni's not giving anyone 25 G's.
Yanni won't give. Are you kidding? Yanni doesn't
give. Nick's place, 10 G's.
Well, no, 10 Nick, G's. He'll pay. Nick's Italian. He'll pay. Okay?
He'll squeeze. He'll collect.
That too.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.